In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. God does things differently. He usually acts in a way in which we would not expect. And I think that makes sense. It makes sense that God would do things differently than we would do things. God is omniscient, and we are not. God is perfect, and we are not. And so he is using a perfect wisdom, which we do not have. It's why God will do things differently than us. In fact, this is one of the arguments that you can use to show that the Bible had to be inspired by God and could not have been invented by man. Some of the things that the scriptures say God does are just so different that no human being could have ever invented it. God does things differently. And that's brought out in our text. For in our text, we see Jesus establishing his kingdom. But Jesus' kingdom, it really is a different type of a kingdom. For think about what would be on your mind if you were establishing a kingdom. If you were establishing a kingdom, you would probably think about protection, right? Maybe it's like a castle in the Middle Ages, or maybe it's some cybersecurity today, but protection is always an important part of every kingdom. On top of that, you would probably think of who are going to be leaders in your kingdom. You would want the strongest, the brightest, the best to be leaders in your kingdom so that they could be a great asset to you. And finally, you would also try to figure out a way to grow your kingdom. Kingdoms never want to remain the same. They always want to grow and continue to be prosperous. Yes, if you were establishing a kingdom, I think you'd have those three things: protection, leadership, growth. I think you would have those three things on your mind. Well, Jesus is establishing a kingdom in our text, for now that his ministry is beginning, he is going throughout the region of Galilee, preaching and teaching in every single town and village that he comes to. And when he's preaching and teaching, he's talking about a kingdom, a different type of kingdom, but he's talking about a kingdom. For listen to how St. Mark summarizes Jesus' message. Jesus was saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. So repent and believe the good news." Yes, Jesus is establishing a kingdom. It's just that this kingdom is so different than any other kingdom that has ever been established. How? Well, first off, let's think about protection. For did you notice when this text took place? It took place after John had been placed in prison. And who is John? Well, John was Jesus' forerunner. He was the first one that started talking about this kingdom. He was the one that went up before Jesus and said, "Repent, the kingdom of God is near." And as Jesus' forerunner, John, he had hitched his wagon to Jesus, so to speak, meaning that everybody knew John and Jesus were connected. Everyone knew that John was a part of this kingdom that Jesus was establishing. And where did that get John? It got him imprisoned and later beheaded by a drunken king. Doesn't seem like this kingdom that Jesus was establishing offered all that good of protection to John. Instead, it seemed like this kingdom, it actually caused harm to John, causing him to be imprisoned and beheaded. On top of that, look at who Jesus called to be his followers, to be leaders in his kingdom. In our text, he called a bunch of fishermen. And while being a fisherman was a very respected job in those days, especially in the region of Galilee where the Sea of Galilee was, it was its Tyre and economy, fishermen usually aren't considered the strongest, the brightest, and the best, the 1% of the 1% who would be the elite great leaders of a kingdom. It seems as if Jesus spent a little more time, if he looked a little harder, maybe he could have found some better men to be leaders in his kingdom. And finally, it doesn't seem as if Jesus has a very good strategy to grow his kingdom. For when he called these fishermen to be leaders in his kingdom, he told them that he was going to turn them into fishers of men. That seems vague and not specific. Hard, easy for me to say. It seems vague and not specific. How in all the world do you fish for men? On top of that, the message that Jesus was proclaiming, repent and believe the gospel, that message doesn't seem like a message that would grow a kingdom. There's no force, there's no persuasion, there's no convincing. It's just one simple message, repent and believe the gospel, a message that these fishermen were supposed to go out into all the world with and proclaim to anyone they met, regardless of who they were or what status they had. Yes, this kingdom is different than any other kingdom. Because this kingdom does not have strong borders to protect its people from physical harm and danger. Instead, being a part of this kingdom might cause people to have more physical harm and danger in this world. And in this kingdom, Jesus doesn't just choose the 1% of the 1%, the strongest, the brightest, and the best to be leaders, but he often chooses people who have great faults to be leaders in his kingdom. And in this kingdom, Jesus doesn't have an effective strategy to pinpoint certain people, a certain demographic, with a certain message, but he has one message for all, repent and believe the gospel. Yes, this kingdom is different than any other kingdom. Why? It's because this kingdom is not a kingdom invented by men for this world, as every other kingdom we're familiar with is. Instead, this kingdom which Christ is establishing, this kingdom is established by God himself. And this kingdom is to last for all eternity. For this kingdom is all about salvation. It's all about forgiveness and life. That's why Jesus is the one to establish this kingdom. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Son of God who took on human flesh, who would win forgiveness and life by his death and resurrection. That's what this kingdom is all about. It's all about salvation. And since this kingdom is all about salvation, of course, it's going to be so different than many kingdoms of this world. But different only in this way. For this kingdom of Jesus, it will offer protection. It will have leaders, and it will grow. It just does those things in a way that no human being could ever invent. For let's talk about this protection. This kingdom of Christ really does offer you great protection. It offered John great protection. How? This kingdom protected John from his sins. Protected him from Satan, and it even protected him from death. This kingdom protected John so well that none of these enemies could harm John, even as John was imprisoned and later beheaded. Even then, he still had the forgiveness of sins in Christ. He still was freed from Satan's grasp by Christ. And he still had new life in Christ. A life that was stronger than death, a life that he is still enjoying, a life that will last for all eternity. Truly, this kingdom protected John even as he was imprisoned and beheaded. Truly, this kingdom will protect you. It'll protect you from your sin, from Satan, and from death, no matter what struggles or hardships you might endure in this world. And on top of that, all the leaders in this kingdom, all the leaders are extremely powerful. Oh, sure, they may not be the 1% of the 1%, the strongest, the brightest, and the best according to the world's standards, but they are powerful, more powerful than other people in this world. For every leader in this kingdom has Christ. And if they have Christ, they have everything they may ever need. After all, look at how Jesus called these fishermen to be his leaders. He said, follow me. He didn't tell these fishermen, take the lead on your own. He didn't tell these fishermen, come up with an effective strategy on your own. He said, follow me. And since God's word is always effective, since it always does whatever it says, when Jesus said those words, follow me, not only did it cause these fishermen to leave everything behind and begin to follow Jesus, but on top of that, it made these fishermen powerful leaders in this kingdom, able to do great things, including causing this kingdom to grow and prosper. For when these fishermen began to follow Jesus, they began to speak like Jesus. They began to speak the powerful word of God. And this powerful word of God, that's what causes the kingdom of God to grow and be powerless, grow and prosper. It is all the powerful word of God. For it does not matter ultimately who is doing the speaking. It does not matter what strengths or weaknesses or talents or abilities these leaders have. What matters is that they're speaking the powerful and effective word of God. For through that message, the message of repent and believe in the gospel, the same message that Jesus was proclaiming, through that message, many people are going to be brought into the kingdom. For think about what it means to repent and believe the gospel. To repent actually means to look back. It's to look back at all the wicked and evil things that you have done and acknowledge that you haven't been perfect. That can only happen through the word of God, right? Because without the word of God, we would convince ourselves that we're really not all that bad, or we didn't sin all that much, or our sins are better than other people's sins around us. We would all convince ourselves of those truths had it not been for the word of God. It's why the word of God alone can cause us to repent, because the word of God alone causes us to acknowledge how wicked and evil and sinful we really all have been. But the word of God doesn't stop there. Because once you repent, once you acknowledge your sins, then the word of God proclaims to you the gospel. The gospel that is the good news all about Jesus, of how God's Son took on flesh for you, of how God's Son died for you, of how he rose for you, of how he comes to you through word and through sacrament to forgive your sins, just as he did with Ruth when she was baptized this week. And since God's word is effective, when that gospel is proclaimed, it will forgive your sins. It will cause you to believe in that gospel so that you can be a part of that kingdom. It's why it's only through the word of God that you can believe in the gospel. And since it's only by the word of God that you can repent and believe in the gospel and thereby be brought into this kingdom of God, this kingdom that will last for all eternity, giving you perfect protection from all of your enemies, since it is only through the word of God that you can repent and believe in this gospel. My dear Christian friends, I have two quick things for you. One, there really is nothing more important that you can do than hear the word of God. I don't care what else you have on your agenda. There is nothing more important than being in this word, this life-giving, effective word that causes you to repent and believe the gospel so that you can remain a part of this kingdom. There is nothing, nothing more important than for you to be in this word. And second, what a privilege each and every one of you have as leaders in this kingdom to proclaim this word. You see, it does not matter who you are. It doesn't matter what strengths or weaknesses or talents or abilities you think you have. You can speak this word. God has given you the ability to communicate. You can speak this word, for the power does not rest with you. It rests in the powerful word of God. And therefore, when you speak this word, whether it's to your children in your home, or to a friend or a relative or to a neighbor or in whatever vocation you have, when you speak this word, you can be confident that you will be a fisher of men. Because God will be at work through that word, causing people to repent and believe the gospel so that they too may be brought into this glorious kingdom. Because this kingdom of Christ really is different than any other kingdom in this world. It was not invented by man. It is not for this world. It is established by God for all eternity. And therefore, it does not depend on man's strengths or man's wisdoms or man's strategies. It depends on Christ and his word. And so as long as that message, repent and believe the gospel, is ringing in your ears, as long as that message, repent and believe the gospel, is on your lips, you can be certain of this. You can be certain that you and many other people will be a part of this kingdom of Christ for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess the one true faith, the faith that allows us to be a part of this kingdom by using the words of the Nicene Creed.